The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello there, and welcome to you from the Grace Evangelical Society. This is Grace in Focus, the podcast broadcast ministry. We're delighted you're with us today. As we look at a couple of questions you've asked, first off, will believers be judged for the sins we've confessed? And is believing in Jesus a work? Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro will be along with some answers to these questions in just a moment after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org. We modestly believe that it is the best website for free grace answers and information. We just have a number of articles, hundreds of articles, blogs and videos, replays of this podcast, and you are sure to find an answer or an illustration to some free grace issue that you might be thinking about or struggling with. And right now, it is also the place where you can find information about the Grace Evangelical Society's National Annual Conference 2023. It is going to be a great get-together at a wonderful Christian camp in Denton, Texas, Camp Copus, coming up May 22nd through the 25th with lots of great speakers. Our theme this year is going to be Vital Free Grace Issues. So we hope that you'll sign up, get registered, find all the information you will need at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro with today's topics.
The first question is from Chris, and he asks, will believers be judged for sins we've confessed?
Okay, now that's a really good question. And here's what I would say for Chris. If you look at, for example, 2 Corinthians 5:10, let's look there real quick. If you have your Bible there, take it out and take a look at it. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, well, starting in verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, with the Lord or absent from the Lord, to be well-pleasing to him. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that means all believers, all Christians, that each one may receive done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the Greek word for bad is the word that means bad. That's why it's translated good or bad.
And you had to go to seminary to exactly get that kind of insight into the word.
Actually, David, there's a funny issue because there is a textual problem. The majority of manuscripts have the word kakos, which clearly means bad, but some of them, like a few early ones, read phallos, which always means bad when it's the opposite of good, agathos. So no matter whether this is phallos or kakos, either way, it means bad. Mm-hmm. And it's not dealing with sins. It's dealing with bad deeds. I like to think of it this way. I remember I spoke with Zane Hodges about that. And he said, our deeds will not be judged as sins. They will be judged as deeds. And if they're bad deeds, they'll be judged. Mm-hmm. For example, remember that David had Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, killed, right? Mm-hmm. Why did he do that?
So he could have Bathsheba.
Yeah, and he was trying to cover up the sin, and he couldn't do it, so he just kills him.
Well, yeah, it was his way of justifying what he was doing.
Yeah. Now, how do we know that happened?
It's in the Word.
It's in the Word, yeah, right? That's in the permanent record, right?
Yeah, it is.
So forever, we're going to know those bad deeds of David, right?
Right.
Well, it seems to me at the judgment seat of Christ, this will be a comprehensive judgment of all our works, not from birth to death, but from new birth to death, from the time we're born again until the time we die. Mm-hmm. And that will include both good and bad. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people don't like this. In fact, I'm not real thrilled with it. Because obviously, if this means that the things I've done and said that were bad are going to come up at the judgment seat of Christ, that will be quite embarrassing, don't you think?
I'm hoping that they'll clear the courtroom. The Lord will clear the courtroom when they're doing it for me.
Let me give you a quick example. One time, my in-laws were visiting, and Sharon and I got into some argument. I can't remember what it was, but we got into an argument, and I was so mad, I threw something on the ground in the kitchen. Well, this thing bounced once or twice and went right through the window at the end of the kitchen.
Oh, no.
And just broke the snot out of the window. I felt like a worm. I was horrible. And my in-laws were there. They're like, what kind of an immature nincompoop did you marry, Sharon? And I'm like, no, I'm the nincompoop, the immature nincompoop she married. And I believe that'll come up at the judgment seat of Christ. Now,
sure.
Am I forgiven for that? Sure.
Absolutely.
I've confessed it. I've dealt with it. The Lord has forgiven it. But remember, when God forgave David, there were consequences in this life as a result of his sins, right?
Sure.
I mean, if you read the second half of 2 Samuel 12, you get the rebellion of Absalom, David having to flee for his life, all kinds of horrible things.
Right.
And
yeah.
So as a result, the fact that there are consequences at the judgment seat of Christ should not be a big surprise. And what this should be a motivation for us is to realize that everything counts. We mm-hmm. shouldn't be thinking, well, look, if I confess it, it goes away.
No, it doesn't go away.
All right, here's my question for you, David. A lot of people point to the fact that Jesus says that he forgives our sins completely, puts them aside as far as the east and the west. If that's true, and he says, I will remember their sins no more in Hebrews, mm-hmm. right? Well, how can that be, and yet he's going to remember our sins? Doesn't that seem inconsistent?
It deals with the definition of remember.
And what does remember? And this is a big theme, by the way, in both. What's the Old Testament? It's Zakar, right, I think?
Yeah.
For to remember. In the New Testament, there are various words for mm-hmm. remember. But the point is, yeah, he won't remember in the sense of holding it against us in terms of our eternal destiny.
Right.
But he will remember in the sense that there's accountability, just like he did with David.
Exactly. Since it's forgiven, it won't, quote, count against you in that sense.
Right. And it won't be brought up as sin.
Right.
In other words, this is going to be brought up as work. Like, this was, breaking that window was not a good thing, Bob. And I'm like, amen.
Well, my question is breaking that window going to disqualify you from getting the crown that we talked about in the previous session?
It might be a cracked crown.
Are you going to be able to rule with Lord because of that?
You know, I can't remember who it is. One of these women preachers, she talked about cracked pots. And she said, in a sense, we're all cracked pots, right?
Yeah.
I like to think that at the judgment seat of Christ, the fact that this is going to be a comprehensive judgment works both for and against us.
Mm-hmm.
What if you and I came out of really bad backgrounds, and so we had a lot to overcome?
Mm-hmm.
And so from the beginning of our Christian life to the end, if there's lots of growth in there, it seems like that's commendable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think we all start the Christian life like Ozzy and Harriet's kids did.
No.
Many of us start like Ozzy Osbourne's kids.
Oh, man. No, you're right. So many people start with horrible family backgrounds, and they have a lot to overcome there. But if you do come from the Ozzy and Harriet, believe it or not, there's stuff you have to overcome there. Because sometimes you get the feeling of privilege, like I deserve this, I deserve better.
Okay, we got another question for you.
Yeah, another question is from Steve, and he said, is believing in Jesus a work? Some people will think, yeah, belief is also a work.
I think Steve says he talked to some Calvinists and they were saying it was a work.
Right. They said it means obedience. How can this be? You elaborate on what he tried to go to Hebrews 11:1 for the definition of faith.
But they rejected that.
They rejected that, yeah.
And he wants to understand how in the world they're coming to that. Well, here's my response, Steve. For us, to believe something is to be convinced it's true, right?
Right.
But for a Calvinist, to believe includes a whole package of things. Turning from my sins, committing my life to Christ, dedicating myself to serve him for the rest of my life, surrendering to his lordship, and ultimately persevering till the end.
And also persevering in good works.
And obedience.
Obedience.
And good works,
yeah.
Right? All of that is obviously work.
Sure.
But if we understand faith as simply being persuaded, that's different than the way they understand faith. But even having said that, they even reject the idea, even if you said faith is being persuaded, they'd call that a work too. Because in their mind, it's all of God. Here's the way they look at it. In eternity past, God chose a small percentage of humanity, let's say 5% of humanity, mm-hmm. to be born again. That's called the elect. The other 95%, they're hopeless. There's nothing they can do. Christ didn't die for them, and they don't have any chance to believe and be born again.
Mm-hmm.
But the 5% can't help but be born again because God regenerates them before they believed. Because in Calvinist view, total depravity means that until you're regenerated, you can't respond to God in any way.
Yeah, that's what they believe.
And so as a result, in their mind, regeneration must precede faith, and faith itself is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. Confessing Christ is a gift of God. Perseverance is a gift of God. Mm-hmm. And so in their mind, it's all a gift of God. But of course, the problem they have is they have no assurance because they don't know, am I one of the people Christ died for? Am I one of the elect? And what they do, they look at their works to try to see, am I on the right trajectory? And then they get in an argument with their spouse or they yell at their kids or something, and then they begin to doubt.
And if they do that right before they die, that means they're gone.
They're going.
They're not going to the good place.
No. So it's a sad kind of theology. But the reason that Calvinists see faith as a work is because they have this man-made construct called the tulip, the 5 points of Calvinism.
Right.
And that construct has no room for human free will. And yet, remember what Jesus said in John 5:39 and 40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They were looking at the commandments and trying to say, oh, I'm doing real well. He said, but these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to have life is to come to Jesus, which in John is believing in him.
Right.
The point is, a willingness to believe is something that we need. Jesus said in John 6:28 and 29, he was asked, what works must we do that we may work the works of God? And he said, this is the work singular of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.
Right.
I think he was speaking ironically, like a winking of his eye. This is the work. In other words, this is the action. The only action, which is a passive action, mm-hmm. is to believe in the one that God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah to give eternal life.
Right.
All right.
That's a great explanation of this.
And what's everybody supposed to do until next time?
Keep grace in
focus.
Zane Hodge's commentary on James, entitled The Epistle of James, Proven Character Through Testing, is available at discount to Grace and Focus listeners right now at faithalone.org. Get half price through April the 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word James. That's faithalone.org. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, how much and how precisely do you have to believe about Jesus to be born again? That's next time here on Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.